It is a good way to start morning. Everybody's going to have to speak in an accent one day. Like, we're going to make everybody come in and speak in an accent. Like, the whole time. Just, you have to choose some accent. Like, hey, y'all, I'm from Arizona. That's an Arizona accent. You guys realize, like, people from Arizona don't have an accent, right? Like, we just straight speak, like we're just straight talking. Like, it's everybody else that sounds weird. What's that? A foreign, yes. I can even talk like maybe from the Russia region, maybe, yes. Dude, I'm so glad everybody is here today. I really am. I'm glad you guys are here. I love Sunday mornings and junior high service and getting together with you guys and hanging out. And I really, really, really hope that that the time that we have together, when we open the Bible and we're up here teaching, I really hope that we learn that you're actually learning stuff here. Not just like, oh yeah, Josh, blah, 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 but like stuff that you can take away from here, walk out of this place and actually apply to your life and to what God wants from you and what and the way that you are created to really live and act and walk out. So I hope that's the case for you guys when we do this. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to share our faith. What does it mean for you to share your faith and to tell friends and family about your faith in Jesus? If that's where you are, what does that mean? So here's what I want to do, though. I'm going to pray first, and here's why I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you guys, as mature, young, adult, junior high students. I'm going to ask you guys just that for the next like 20 minutes or so, we could we can kind of just not be distracting or not be distracted, but really just kind of pay attention and see what is it that we can learn, what is it maybe that God wants to teach us in this time. So would you guys pray with me, and then we'll jump in. God, you're good to us. Thank you that we get a chance to be here together. Like, this is a blessing. This is something that I pray, God, that you use this time, that it would be your words, not me, that your spirit would guide us. God, thanks for these students. Seriously, what a privilege for us to be able to come together and worship and sing and learn. This is one of the things that you have given us that is such a blessing to us. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are things in life that are super hard, right? Like, if you haven't figured this out, you guys have heard the saying, life is hard, right? You've heard, like, life is hard. Well, there are going to be hard times in your life. Some good, some bad, but there are going to be hard times. And sometimes hard things are having hard conversations with people last night I said for guys, but really it's for guys and girls. Sometimes one of the hard things in life is to, like, admit when you're wrong, right? Like, for me, like, if I'm, like, talking with my wife, and we're talking, and we have a discussion, and I'm, like, we disagree, and I'm, like, no, babe, I don't know that. And then I go back and think about it, I'm, like, yeah, you know what, I was totally wrong right there. It's hard for me to come to the fact that I'm, like, so, Liz, how do I say this? I'm wrong? And she's, like, yeah, you are. I'm, like, oh, man, you're not supposed to say it. But sometimes those are hard. And then sometimes a hard thing in life is having hard conversations with people, saying hard things with them. And I'm learning how to do that, and I'm really bad at it. I don't want to have a tough conversation with anybody. So, like, if I have to say something hard to you, I'm going to try to beat around the bush a lot and go, like, I don't like to do that. When I was 22, if you guys don't know a lot of my story, and I know a lot of you in here don't know my story, but when I was 21, I was heading down this path in life where I was making bad choices, and I definitely did not have a relationship with God or with Jesus. I didn't at all. And I was just making some bad choices. Well, when I was 21, I went to church, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, and started this new journey in life, this new path where I started following Jesus. Well, within about a year, I realized this, that my brother, that he wasn't a Christian and he didn't really have a relationship with God. And so one night, I remember I called him up. And this was really hard to do. And you guys probably know this. Like, having conversations sometimes about faith or talking to people about Jesus, especially like people that you love. And so for my brother, it was really hard for me to be like, so dude, I care about you a lot. You got to know Jesus. And I just started talking to him about who Jesus was and who God was and about why I really, really wanted him to have a relationship with Christ. Because I had seen my life change over a course of a year with my relationship with Jesus. And I had seen how God had been like working on me and making me into a new person, and how like all these things that I struggled with before and I would do, and these, like, I would be a total jerk and this and that. And I just saw how God was working in me and making me into somebody different. And I was like, dude, and now I had a hope in life. I had a reason to live. I had something to look forward to. I was like, gosh, God gave me brand new, like, he gave me literally a new reason to live. I know who I am. I know God. I have a relationship with him. I now know and experience life to the fullest. And so I had to tell my brother about it. I was like, dude, you have to know this. So I just poured out my heart one night and just told him everything. Dude, this is why you have to make this decision. This is what he's done for me. This is who he is. And I went through this whole thing. And now, like years later, he totally, like just recently after that, made a decision to follow Jesus. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. I'm on board. And now he's a believer and he has a family and he loves Jesus and it's awesome. But sometimes it can be really hard to do that. And I totally understand for an eighth grader, it can be hard, and seventh grader, it can be hard for you to share your faith with your friends, huh? Like, you go to school, and sometimes the thing that's on your mind isn't like you go into your class, and you're like, hey, how's your weekend? Good. Hey, do you want to come to church and know Jesus with me? And they might look at you and be all, what? I don't get that. What? You're weird, right? And you're like, oh, I mean, just played video games this weekend. It was cool. Like, okay, that's better, dude. Awesome, right? Like, it can be hard to go in and just talk to people about your faith. But here's the deal. We're going to get into the text. We're going to be in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at a guy named Philip and what he did and how he shared his faith. But I want to talk to you about something, because here's the deal. This is what we believe to be true, right? As a Christian and someone that has placed their faith in Jesus, that has made the confession and said, God, I want to follow you. I believe that your son, Jesus, is who he says he is, and it's only because of the blood that he shed on the cross that I now have life, that you now have saved me, you now have rescued me. Only because that has taken place now that I have hope in life. And we look and we go, you know what, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is you'll answer the question of who is Jesus. And we believe that to be true, right? More important than the person you marry is what you will do with the question of who is Jesus. And if we believe that to be true, and we believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus and about God and about the cross, and if we believe that to be true, then you know what? We're going to want every single person that we know to hear the good news of who Jesus is, right? So this is what I think a very, very, very important decision. And I just want to do this today. I want to help you to be able to share your faith with your friends. I want to be able to give you some tools that you can do so that you can go to school or you can go to your family member or your brother and sister and just be like, hey, I love you too much to not tell you this. I want you to know who Jesus is. Because it is the most important decision you will make. That's why the adults are here in this room. Besides the fact that we care about junior high students, we just know that this is an important decision, and it's because of what God has done in our lives that we're here going, okay, we want you guys to know Jesus too. That's why we're here. Okay, Acts 8. We're going to learn about this guy, Philip. We're going to start at verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26. This, Acts is a really cool book. If you ever want to read a cool book, Acts is really, it's about the early church. The whole book of Acts really is about what happened as soon as Jesus ascended into heaven, and then he really left the church. He left the apostles and said, okay guys, it's your job now. Go take the good news of what I've done for the people. Go tell the people of the great love that I have for them and spread the good news of the church. And so the book of Acts is really about the early church. It's really about brand new, fresh church. And these guys, it wasn't easy for them. They lived under great oppression. In fact, I've told you this before, but of the 12 apostles, how many of them were martyred? 11. 11 of the 12 gave their lives for their faith in Jesus and for the good news. It wasn't easy being a part of the early church. And here's this guy, Philip, who was one of the leaders in the early church. Now, this is the story that we read. I'm going to start in 26. I'll read through the story. We'll come back and we'll touch on some key points. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, real quick before I go, remember we talked about this before. When an angel comes and talks to you, what do? You listen, right? Like if an angel were to appear to me and be like, Josh, go to the cafe and get coffee. I would be like, yo, peace out, all. I got to listen to the angel. All right, I'll be right back. I got to go get coffee. Like you listen to an angel. Philip listens to the angel. So just that's just a good life lesson. Angel comes talk to you, go listen. Okay, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, not like an angel, the person, but an actual like angel. Okay. Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So here, really quick, let's paint a picture. There's an Ethiopian eunuch who is a very high official for the queen. He probably went to Jerusalem. He probably was in Ethiopia, went up to Jerusalem to worship. He probably converted to Judaism. So he's a Jewish Ethiopian guy on a chariot heading back down to Ethiopia, right? And he's going down in this chariot, and the angel had told Philip, hey, go to that road and start walking down the road. So Philip does it. And so then the angel, and then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, guides Philip and tells Philip, go up to that chariot. That's where we are. So Ethiopian on a chariot, going back down to Ethiopia. Philip walks up. Like, I can just imagine that would be awkward, just standing there. I know the Spirit told me to come here. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. So the Ethiopian is reading a scroll. He's reading literally a scroll of Isaiah, the same Isaiah that we have in our Bible today. The same book. He's reading a scroll from Isaiah. And this is what he was reading. Well, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So that's literally what the eunuch is reading. What do you guys think? What was he reading right there? Who was he reading about? Austin, who do you think he's reading about? Jesus, dude, that's so Sunday school answer. But it's the right answer. He's totally reading about Jesus. So Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before, had written this prophecy about Jesus. He had written this prophecy saying, this is what the Christ, this is what's going to happen to him. He is going to be led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent. Have you ever heard, guys, Jesus, one of the names, Jesus has many names. And one of the many names that he have is he's the Lamb of God. Right? He is the sacrifice. That just means he is a sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice that it absolutely was going to take for God to have forgiven all of our sins. Only one sacrifice was due, what would have been appropriate, and it was the blood of Jesus, because he was the only perfect being to ever walk the face of the earth. So it had to happen that way. So they call him the Lamb of God, because he was the sacrifice. And it says, in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Remember, he didn't deserve to go to the cross because he hadn't done anything. He was sinless. He had not done anything. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So he's speaking about Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. When you go to school, you probably will not have, like, the Ethiopian eunuch ask you these questions, right? You're probably not going to walk into English class, and you go to English class, and you sit down, and you look over at the guy next to you, and you're all, hey, what are you reading? He's all, oh, just this prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Do you know what it means? Like, it probably won't be that easy. I feel like that's such an easy, like, softball pitch lob, right? Like, somebody, like, that'd be awesome if I go into Starbucks one day and I'm, like, sitting there with my Bible up. I'm like, can I get a coffee? And they're like, yeah. Can you tell me what Jesus did for me? And I'd be like, yeah, I totally can. It never happens like that, right? It's so much harder. But in this case, Philip had it right there. It was right there. He's like, hey, I'm reading this passage. What does it mean? Philip The eunuch asked him, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So he took the Scripture and he started explaining it, and then he told him the good news about Jesus. That because Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins when he didn't deserve it, but he loved us, and he knew that the only way that we would have everlasting life is that he sacrificed his life on the cross. And that we place our faith in him and our trust in him and follow him. When that happens, we have everlasting life. And Philip knew that. And so he told the eunuch that. He told the Ethiopian guy that. He's like, "Oh, this is perfect. You have to know about this. Here's the good news." And he lays out the gospel. And he tells him, "This is who Jesus is, and this is how much he loves you, and this is what he's done for you." And as a result of that, it says this in 36, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot." So we can only assume here that as they're going down and as they're talking and as Philip is telling him the good news about Jesus, that the eunuch has understood that. He's understood what the good news is and he's accepted that. And he said, "Yes, I want that. I want that everlasting life. I want to place my faith in Jesus. I believe that to be true." And at that moment, he gives his life over to Jesus. He gives his life to Christ. He becomes a Christian. He begins to follow him. So he's like, "Let's get baptized. There's water. Let's do it." Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So here's Philip just going around telling the good news about people. He tells the Ethiopian eunuch, he places his faith in Jesus, he gets baptized, and then he goes on to other towns and continues to preach the good news. And we have some other sources that tell us about the Ethiopian eunuch, and actually, we don't know this for sure, but they believe that he actually took the good news of the gospel to Ethiopia and evangelized that country and began to tell other people about the good news about who Jesus was. And Philip knew, it's actually my job to go and talk to people about the good news. So here's my question for us today. Is it still our job to go tell people about the good news of who Jesus is? And I will never understand this, but here's the crazy thing. God uses people like you and like me to take his message out to the world. Like he uses, listen, junior high students, he's not saying, "Hey, when you're 19, 20, 21, 23, 25, 30, I'm going to use you to take the good news out to the world." He's going, "No, right now. You're 12. You're perfect. This is the perfect time. Let's do this. Let's take the good news of who Jesus is out to the world." And if you are like me, that can be a really scary thought, right? Like, nobody likes, like what you shouldn't do is don't go to school on Tuesday and walk into class and just start, like, screaming at people, right? Or telling people, like, "You guys have to start doing this. You should start coming to church with me because you're stupid." Like, if you do that, you're wrong. Don't do that. That will not work. Nobody ever goes, "Oh, okay, that's a good idea. I'll go with you." Like, don't do that, right? But what does it look like for you to go tell people about Jesus, about the good news of what he's done for us? The reason we tell people is because we truly believe that God has loved us so, so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever, the kid next to you in class, your family member, your brother, your sister, the kid that sits all by himself at lunch, so that whoever... Wait, I have to do the whole verse or I lose it. "For God so loved the world that he gave us one only son, so that whoever believes in him has everlasting life." I have to do it all in a row. I can't pick up in the middle of it. So whoever believes in him has everlasting life. That's the good news. That's why we go telling people about him. So here, let me give you a couple practical reasons, junior high students, a couple practical things that you can do. For me, here's what works for me. Especially when I hang out with some friends from high school. Because when I was in high school, I was a totally different person, right? You guys know a little bit about my story, making bad choices, doing stupid things, like not following Jesus at all. Just no. bad example. Parents, don't let your students be like Josh when he was in high school, right? Like bad, like don't be like me person. So now when I see friends that I haven't seen in a long time from high school and I see them, I'm like, hey, what's up, man? They're like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor, junior high pastor at Mission Community Church, and I work with junior high students. And I always get like this, like, oh, okay. So, all right. So you, Pat, church, okay, cool. Like, just like, they don't know what to do. And I'm like, I know, I totally expect that from you because you only knew the old me. But let me tell you, here's all I know. Man, when I was 21, like, I just knew that I had no hope, and God, like, literally rescued me. Literally, like, the good news about who Jesus is became so real to me, and my life took a whole different turn, like, literally 180, and now everything is different. It's crazy, man, I can't explain it. But I just know that God has done some crazy things in my life. What about you? You want to know about, like, where are you, you know? Like, that for me is an in. Because I can just look back and people know the old me and they know, and then they see the new me and they're like, something's different. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Just God did some really cool things in my life and I'm totally different now. And he's so good. My God is so good. And at that point, I have an open door to tell him about who Jesus is and what he's done for me and what he wants to do for them. And that's the same for you. Anybody in here, when you, like, I don't ever want to hear this from people because I do sometimes and I don't want to hear it. I hear people go, oh, my testimony or my story, like I've just been a Christian since I was 5 and it's really boring. I don't have one of those cool, like, oh, dude, I was on drugs and I was this and that and God saved me. Like, here's the deal. Anytime God makes himself and reveals himself to somebody, it is an awesome story. Okay, anytime God changes somebody's heart and changes somebody's life, that is amazing. So there's no such thing as a boring testimony. So go to your friends and just say, man, here's what God's done in my life. He's changed me. I'm a different person because of it. And if that's really hard, I get it. But man, like, just try it. Go to your friends. Here's what God's done. You interested in hearing about it? Here's another thing you can do. Here at Mission, we like to set up, like, I know it can be hard. I know it can be tough to go and to talk to your friends and to go and do that. Here's the deal, though. We try to help you guys out. Like Disneyland, for example. I love you guys and I love all you and I want you to come to Disneyland. But really, the idea of Disneyland isn't just for us in here. The idea for Disneyland is, man, what a great front door for a friend at school that maybe doesn't have faith or maybe never been to church or maybe like, dude, I've heard about church. I don't want anything to do with that. You're like, I totally understand. Have you heard about Disneyland? You should come check that out, right? Like, who doesn't want to go to Disneyland? You take them to Disneyland. We hang out with them. We don't do some sneak attack weird thing, right? Like, we're not standing in line for It's a Small World. Because I don't know if anybody wants to go there. There's got to be, gosh, wait, that's a terrible example. We're standing in line for Splash Mountain. Way better. Okay, so we're standing in line for Splash Mountain, and all of a sudden we come with like sneak attack mode, right? Like, you're standing in line, and here I come, and I'm like creeping up, and I'm like, hey, dude, you hear about Jesus? You need to come to church, man. Check it out. Yeah, he's really good. What are you doing? Have you ever heard about him? What do you think? Who do you think God is? And like, do some sneak attack, right? That'd be weird. And we'd be like, okay, I don't want to go to your church. You guys are weird. Why did you bring me to Disneyland to have some weird guy come up and do sneak attack on me? I don't want to be a part of that, right? We won't do that. But guess what we will do? You have a bunch of adults in here that when we're standing in line at Disneyland, we just start to ask little questions like, hey, who are you? What do you like to do? What's important to you? What are you passionate about in life? Who's your family? Don't we all want to be known? Don't we all want people to know us and like us? Don't we all want people to care for us? Well, that's who the adults are in this room. We want to care for you guys, and we want to care for your friends. And ultimately, we want to introduce them to the person of Jesus and who he is and what he's done. So we use Disneyland as an open door. It's a totally safe place. Come hang out. Student night on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday of the month. Totally safe place. Hey, do you like to come play a crazy game where I don't even know why we do this or what makes sense, but all I know is we're doing crab walk into the middle of a room and people get hurt and we run into each other and I don't know, but it's really funny. You should come check it out.
Like, that's why we do stuff like that. We have fun. We play freeze tag with leaders. Well, for two reasons. Because it's fun and because you get a chance to hit leaders with dodgeballs, and that's always a good idea. Right? But these are why we do things, so that it's a safe place. We want to create an environment here that is good for you to bring people in so that they can be known and ultimately so they can hear the good news of who Jesus is. Here's what I would love to happen. Look around here and see all these empty seats in here. You know what I want to see with these empty seats? I want to see every single one of them full with your friends from school, friends from the neighborhood. I actually want us to have to do this on Sunday morning. Oh, man, dude, we need to get more seats. Everybody, rush, get more seats. Let's set them out. And guess what? Hear my heart on this. It's not because I want to look around and go, biggest youth group in Gilbert, what up? What? Check it out, Mission Junior High. That's not what I care about. Here's what I care about. I want every junior high student in Gilbert, Mesa, Queen Creek, Tempe, Chandler, everywhere. I want every single junior high student to hear the good news of who Jesus is. That's all I care about. Because he's changed my life. I know he's changed some of yours. And he's in the business of still changing lives. And I want him to do that to your friends at school. To the kid next to you in math class and science class. It's a big deal. And that actually is what God has called us to do. Is to take the good news out into the world. To tell people about what his son has done for us. That's why I want this room full. Okay, imagine this real quick. I should throw this out there. Imagine this. This room, you students, you guys, how many students did we, how many children in Malawi do we feed this year just from junior high ministry? 116, right? 118? Just junior high students. You guys, because of what you've done and you put your resources together, so if you're like, I'm brand new here, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, all the students in this room and the students from last night got together for a month. You guys got super creative. You gave a ton of your time, a ton of your resources, and you raised money for Advent Conspiracy. And we fed 116 children in Malawi for an entire year. 116 kids every single day. They're going to walk to a community center, and they're going to get a meal every single day because of what we've done in this room, right? Imagine if there's twice as many students that are in here because they've heard the news of Jesus and God is changing their lives just like he's changing ours. Imagine what we're going to do next year. What, 250 kids are going to get fed because of junior high students? Like, wouldn't that be awesome, you guys? What if we feed 250 kids next year because this room's packed out with 12 and 13 and 14-year-old students just going, man, I'm here because I want to hear good news about Jesus and I want to change lives, and he's, for some reason, calling me to be a part of what he's doing in this world. That's what I want. That's what I care about, you guys. That's why it's important for us to tell our friends about who Christ is and what he's done for us. That is the good news. Last thing. Here's another way you can tell your friends about Jesus. Just care for them and love them. Just care for them and love them. Sometimes people don't need like a bunch of like this. They just need to throw an arm around them and be like, hey man, I know where you are. I care about you. I love you. I'm going to be there for you. I know life's hard sometimes, but I'm here for you. And then eventually people start seeing the way that we live and they start asking questions. Hey, why do you do this and that? Man, God's changed my life. That's why I had an opportunity to tell a friend I knew last week. He's like, okay, so he's getting married. And he's like, Josh, what are you doing? And I'm talking to him about what it means to be a husband, but not because, like, and he's like, listen to this, going, this is weird, because he knew high school, Josh. I'm like, yeah, man, I just want to love my wife well. I want to be a good father. I'm just trying to do a good job of leading my family. And he's going, okay, this is weird. I've never heard this. Yeah, I know. Well, God's done some crazy things in my life, and he's changed me. And that has changed the way I'm a dad and this and that. Just care for people. Like, just love them well. I hope that's helpful. Like, we are here for you. We are here to resource you. We want to help you. We understand this is hard, but we want to help you in this process. We want as many people to hear the good news about who Jesus is, and God's calling you right now to be a part of that. And he's inviting you into that, going, come, be a part of this thing. We're changing lives. You want to be a part of it? You want to be a part of it? You want to be a part of it? All right, sweet, let's do this. All right, let's pray. God, you're good to us. The good news about who you are and who your son is, I hope that never becomes something that we just like, oh yeah, just something casual for us. But God, that we have a desire because of what you've done for us and how you've changed us and who you are. But because of that, God, we then see the necessity and the need to take that good news out into the world. To take that good news to our schools, to our friends, to our classmates. To take that good news to our sisters and our brothers and maybe even some of our moms and dads. God, give us courage. Like, we need it. We admit we need your courage. We need courage to go out and to take that message. But God, I pray that we would have that courage to go do that. I pray we would have the courage to share the good news of who you are, who your son is, and what he's done. God, thanks for being good to us. We pray in Jesus' name.